Okay, another great Monday, as I always say, anytime Monday afternoon, you're listening to Local Matters with Judy Duke is a fine time. I have with me in the studio this afternoon a lady that I met some time ago. She probably knows more about me than others do. She's written about me before. She's a writer. She does a little bit. She's traveled. She's interesting, let me tell you. She's in here today and this afternoon all beautiful in this beautiful coral, all just dressed to the hilt. But that is her signature. She always looks gorgeous. Welcome, Pamela Rader, to Local Matters. How are you, dear?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm great.
Yeah, I know why you've got that smile from ear to ear. You're a newlywed.
I'm a newlywed. It'll As be of 5 months, this 24th, the 24th anyway, okay. Whatever. So,
all right. Just still a newlywed. Still yes. On the honeymoon. Yes. What can I say? From the fine town, the historical town of Monterey, of
Gainesboro.
I know.
Okay.
Gainesboro, Tennessee.
The big city.
The big city with the courthouse smack in the middle. Hadn't been too long ago they had the Poke Salad Festival, and it rained all day, best I recall.
It rains.
Yep, that's too bad. Yes. A lot of rainy events this spring for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That a lot of people have had to deal with. I dealt with it. Now I'm glad I don't have to. When, you know, you have events outside. You always got to have a plan B.
True.
So, Pam, I'm sorry. I know you go by Pamela, but I called you Pam. You are a writer.
Yes.
And you're a speaker.
Yes.
And you have a very strong faith.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a pseudonym that yes. Your books are published, Pam Walton.
Pamela Walton.
Well, Pamela Walton. I'm so used to calling you Pam. Pamela Walton.
Right.
And I have some of your books that you were gracious enough to autograph and give to me. Let's talk about how you got into writing.
Well, it was God's idea, actually.
Wasn't it?
It was never a desire of mine, but he called me to do that. And I started out writing as a journalist for local newspapers. I had never taken journalism, but I ended up being one and a reporter and covering all kinds of different stories, you know, health issues to murders, you know.
Anyway, a general writer. Yeah.
And then I moved on to magazines. I wrote for 5 magazines. 4 in the 14 counties of Middle Tennessee and
the Upper Cumberland.
And the Upper Cumberland, and one was nationwide. And one of the, which I wrote a lot of articles, was Our Journey, which was a Christian magazine.
Yes, it was.
So my first book, Life Lessons, Book 1, was a culmination of different stories I had written, some for Our Journey and other publications, some essays, things like that.
Yes.
And then I moved on to the second book, which is about evangelism. I had an 18-year call in the Northeast. So I lived in Gainesboro and in Connecticut largely.
Yeah. And where are you originally from?
Nowhere. Everywhere.
Oh, now where were you born?
Well, my dad was in the Air Force. So
okay. They
were from Pennsylvania, but I didn't grow up there. I was born there, and then we left. So,
okay, so
and then
moved
we moved everywhere.
Wherever he was stationed.
Yeah, we moved and moved and moved. So, really, I've lived the longest in Tennessee.
Oh, Lord, in the night, how did you end up in Middle Tennessee in the fine town of Gainesboro?
I made the mistake of saying before God when I was in Orlando, Florida, God, I'd rather live in a shack in Tennessee than live like this. And he heard me and held me to it. And I came here and I've been just so happy. It's been a wonderful place to be.
The Upper Cumberland of Middle Tennessee is the most beautiful place on earth. And
I've
seen a lot of places.
It is gorgeous.
It is, especially this time of year.
Yes.
And a little earlier.
And I'm glad to have my feet planted back here for, you know.
This is home now.
Well, it's been home, but I was sent out, you know. Yeah. And an apostle is one that's sent. So
it's almost like being a missionary, so
yeah,
to speak.
Yeah, an evangelist.
Yeah.
I was sent by the Lord to the Northeast. I preach.
You still preach?
Minister, yes.
Are you an ordained minister?
Yes, I am. I'm a licensed minister. I perform weddings and, you know, I preach and different things like that. But the call to evangelism is very different than people's concept. They think that you're in churches, but you're out in the highways and byways compelling people
on
to come in.
Corners,
I met mobsters. I witnessed to mobsters. I was sent and placed in different, you know, settings where I would bring the gospel to people who would not otherwise be reached. So that's what it, you know, we're all called to do that, actually, if you're a Christian.
Well, if you're
ministers.
A Christian, the Great Commission, go ye therefore and draw
right,
the world.
Right.
So I guess if you have Christian beliefs, then you're right. We're
right.
all missionaries to some extent.
Well, he said that he's made us ministers of reconciliation, reconciling people to God. I think that's the biggest revelation I've received in the last few years is just the grace of God that makes him relentlessly pursuing people with his love, not waiting to beat them with a ball bat.
But then you get into this thing of, he gave us a free will.
Oh, yeah.
We're not
people mess up, you know. That free will can cause
that
problems.
That free will
but, you
can
know.
Really cause a problem, can it? We don't normally... I'm not a religious show, so to speak.
Right.
That's not, but you are interesting in the fact that somebody would look at you, and you're a very attractive woman, and they would never think of you as a preacher
right.
or an evangelist, maybe a writer, yeah. Are all of your books spiritual in nature?
Yes, they are. They're all inspirational books. They're kind of similar to Chicken Soup for the Soul format. They're stories, short stories,
exactly.
all true and inspirational. The first book, like I said, was a collection of stories. The second one is thrust toward evangelism totally. It's kind of sharing stories of being on the field, the harvest field, and the people I met and the things that resulted.
Mm-hmm.
And the third book is a new release, and it's Life Lessons Book 3, Pearls of Great Price. And they are lessons I learned at a great cost, hard lessons. And I tell on myself a lot.
Yeah, you confess things, don't
it's
you?
It's kind of like I said, I used to be president of the FFA Club, not Future Farmers, but Full Flesh Ahead, and I don't want to be president of that. I don't want to make those mistakes anymore. So my intent was that others could learn from my mistakes, not do the things that I did.
That takes a strong personality to be able to share bad mistakes that, and I've done some of that, and I've made plenty in my, and thank goodness for God's grace,
yes.
or I'd be in big trouble.
Yes.
But talking with Pamela Rader today, a woman of many different talents, I think, it takes courage to do what you do. It takes courage to be able to admit your faults.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Especially when you've really, really messed up. And I don't think there's a person alive that hasn't really, really messed up at some point. We all sow our wild oats and then pray for crop failures, as I've said many times. But to kind of air that laundry out for the public, especially in a book, that's pretty courageous there, Pamela.
I just felt like it was something necessary, and I felt very led to do it. I had a dream about the book. And actually, the publishing company was taken over by another publisher, so they're all being re-released. I'm currently in the process of re-releasing all three books.
Okay.
So book one is up currently now,
okay.
Life Lessons Book 1. Life Lessons Book 2 will be up very soon, within the next few days. And then I'm finishing the final touches on Book 3 as far as editing once again.
Can your books be found on Amazon?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So that you can go on Amazon.com.
And they will be marketed properly.
Okay.
So the first time it didn't go all that well because just circumstances, happened that kind of skipped a lot of the marketing that was supposed to be done. And it was nobody's fault. It was just the way it happened. So this time they'll be out there.
And, okay. That's great. You're not through, though.
No, I'm not through.
No, you got
I want to write a book about my new husband.
Well, let's talk about him.
I want to call it Reward. You know, a Jewish neighbor when I was up in the Northeast had a dream about it.
Is he Jewish?
No, it was just a neighbor across the street had a dream about it and told
me about you?
Yeah, about this new book.
Oh, okay.
Called Reward. But he's wonderful. I'm very happy. Did everything God's way, and things go really well when you do that.
And I have to agree with that.
I tell people I used GodIsOurMatchmaker.com. You know, he's the one that put it together.
And he was willing to. You met him in Connecticut?
No, I met him down here. He's originally from Kansas, but he owns farms in Fentress County. And
he's
magnificent
in the Upper Cumberland.
And
what's his name?
His name is Alan Rader.
Alan Rader.
He's a wonderful.
Well, hi, Alan. How are you? I'll meet you one of these days.
Yeah, you have to. He's the kindest man I've ever met. He's a sweetheart.
That's great. We need to take a break before I ask you this question.
Okay.
So we're going to let you folks listen to our sponsors, and please support them so we can continue to come into your cars and homes, and we'll be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Well, we're back talking with Pamela Rader, author, among other things. Among other things. I do have one question that I started to ask before the break. You ever been really scared? Thought your life was in danger?
Oh, I've been close to death a lot of times.
Scared?
I don't know. For some reason, I don't have fear until later, I guess. It kind of hits me.
You look back on it?
I think, oh, that was kind of scary. There was a gun to my head, you know, kind of thing.
You've been in some pretty rough places then.
Yes, I have. You know, it's
on purpose?
No. I was minding my own business, working a job in Orlando, and a guy stuck a gun to my head through the driver's side door of my car and said, "Be cool, lady, you're about to be robbed," and told me to slide over. And another guy opened the other door and stuck a knife to my side. So that was could have been scary.
Could have been? Were you in another world?
I don't know. For some reason, when I'm in a terrible situation or a panic situation, I get very calm. I don't know why it is, you know, but
that's good.
If I wanted to be a nurse, it might be handy. But, you know,
no, I think it's good. But you can think better when you're not panicked.
Yeah.
You know, so panicked that you can't think straight. You know, I carry mace with me.
Yeah.
I just wonder if I'd have the sense to get it.
Yeah. Right. You'd be asking the person to help you. How does this work?
Mace, so I can squirt it in your eye.
What about the lid? I mean, that.
Now, I hope I would have some sense, but you never know. Thank God I have never been in that kind of a situation. I have been in some scary situations, but I never felt like my life was threatened, but I know you have.
Yeah.
And so you said all this, your whole life has been God-led. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been outside of the...
Oh, absolutely. I ran in the other direction for quite a while until, you know, his love came and got me and roped me in, lassoed me in with his love.
Were you down and out when it happened?
Well, they had told me that my mother was going to be in a vegetative state for the rest of her life, and she was young, and I kind of hit the floor. You know, I was always a daddy's girl, and he spoiled me and, you know, that kind of thing. So my mom was always just in the background, always there, always to be counted on. And, you know, she didn't have that big personality that my dad had. So he was my mentor. But I discovered how deeply I love my mother. I mean, we all love our mothers, you know, but that was a telling point that I reached. And so I came before the Lord and said, okay, you know, I want you to make my mom healthier than she's ever been in her life. And I'll quit this certain thing I was doing, you know.
You made promises to God.
I made a promise and I got heaven's buzzer. The gong sounded, you know, that's not going to work. And so I drummed up another big kahuna that I was going to get rid of in exchange for my mother. And heaven's buzzer sounded again. And then
God doesn't work that way, does
he? No, he didn't. What he wanted was me, you know. So finally I said, I want you to, you know, be my Lord, you know, and that kind of thing. So I got up off the floor and called later, and my mother had been healed miraculously.
Get out of here.
I'm not kidding. She went from going to be in a vegetative state the rest of her life. They didn't know what was going on. She was in a coma, blah, blah, blah. And that evening she was talking to me on the phone. So, you know, different things, you know, happen.
That's pretty miraculous. I do believe in miracles, though.
Well,
is she still alive?
No, she passed away, but she lived a good life. And
good.
But much later after that.
All right.
But the second book has a lot of those things in it where the Lord sent me to somebody and they were miraculously healed or delivered. There was a girl who was had gone from a upper crust home in a nice city in Connecticut, and she was a drug addict on the streets of New York City. And the Lord had me talk to her at 2:00 in the morning after New Year's Eve in front of a fireplace, and she was instantly delivered of both. And so, I mean, it's just loaded with stories like that.
Has anybody ever told you you're full of baloney?
No, I
ask you that seriously, especially in today's world. Christianity is not looked upon favorably.
Well, I've been really, really well received by the ones who it's been a wide open door.
Okay.
You know, I find that most people who aren't receptive or whatever were profoundly hurt. Largely by Christians with bad behavior, you know, unfortunately. In fact, I wrote a story called Are You Paranoid or Are People Really Watching You? Talking about, you know, what kind of actions are in your life? You know, are you representing him properly, you know, by your love? And so, you know, there was a group, a writer's group that I joined in Connecticut, you know, while I was up there as an evangelist, and they were not interested in anything to do with God. Mm-hmm. They, you know, when they heard that story, it's like, that was their favorite story. You know.
Well, you are in the middle of the Bible Belt.
Yeah.
Now.
But I wasn't there.
No, you were not. Northeast and as well as many other parts of this country are not favorable toward religion in general.
Well, I was actually in a $4.6 million home in Greenwich, Connecticut, just outside of New York City, not too far from New York City. And I ended up landing in places because I was supposed to be there. And the owner of the home said, you know, how'd you get here? You know? And anyway, so I said, I was invited by my friend, you know, and all this other stuff. And I had a word for him from God. And he had never, you know, this was new to him, but he owned a company in Manhattan. And a good old boy from Georgia had been come up to do some work 3 weeks prior and gave him the same word that I was delivering at his home. So
God does work in mysterious ways. That's what I've been taught anyway. You know, not to be political, mm-hmm. but there's so many issues happening, especially in the world today. I don't even know that I need to broach this, but I'm going to. I've never been one to shy away from stepping out. Maybe mm-hmm. I'll step in a mud hole. I don't know. But you've got the abortion issue.
Mm-hmm.
Roe versus Wade has been the law of the land for a number of years now. Now the state of Alabama and others are going to follow. You have the homosexual issue, mm-hmm. and I don't even know if it's an issue. But, you know, there's so many things happening in the world today that if you were raised in the Bible Belt, like those of us here in the Upper Cumberland were, how do you handle that with people? You know, how do you say, well, I'm pro-life, or I believe abortion is murder, and then you get an argument back?
Well, I go by the Word of God, and I talk to them about that. But it says that we are to love people who have gone astray. And I think when the truth is preached, they come around. They can't deny the truth. And so I have been used to minister to people who were in that lifestyle. And I brought in the Word of God. And, you know, so he leads me and gives me what to say. I believe that we should stand for what is right. And I've been very involved politically. I'm a political conservative. But it's all biblical based, you know.
Sure.
The Word of God. And like I said, I believe that the truth, you know, speaks.
Well, you know, even the social media is full of love everybody, you know.
Well, you love everybody, but you don't love everything they're doing. It's kind of like a drug addict. You know, if somebody's a drug addict, if you love them, you don't want them to do drugs. You don't study drug addiction and learn all about it. You want the person delivered, you know, from something that's harmful. And so there's a story in, I think, my first book. It's called The Abortion Testimony, that a girl gave, I heard. And there was a woman who had been a counselor in the Northeast who said she wished she'd had that book so many years ago to counsel these girls who went down that wrong path. They got an abortion, and they can never forgive themselves. Mm. And so even a holy, righteous God forgives them, but they're having a problem forgiving themselves.
Exactly.
So I dealt with that aspect so that they can get over that and move on, you know, mm-hmm. and just start there and say, you know, I'm sorry I did that. I repent and let it go. You know, it doesn't have to define the rest of your life. And, you know, I've just had to talk honestly with different people about these
Is
subjects.
There another book on the horizon?
Well, like I said, I think I'm going to write one that will be
about
different.
Your husband.
About how that happened.
Okay.
About doing things relationship-wise and in life, of just doing it God's way and listening to him because he knows what he's talking about. It's like your parents, when they take the car keys from you when you're 5 years old, that's because, not because they're mad, but because they want to spare your life.
Same
you know?
Thing when they're 17 years
right,
old.
Right, and 17, you know, they're, oh, have to have the blindfold on when they're, you know. Oh. But anyway, so it's based out of love. You know, you want to love people into the right path in the right way.
Right, right. I'm so delighted that you came here this afternoon to talk with me. I knew it would be very religious in nature. And if you shut off the radio, I'm sorry about that, because you've missed some good stuff. And a Pamela writer is genuine. I think what she says, she truly believes. And you may disagree with her. You may disagree with me. but we can agree to disagree, right?
Mm-hmm, that's true.
Thank you so much, Pam. I look forward to meeting your husband. I do. You folks have a great rest of the Monday. And, you know, if it's okay every now and then to go get fast food for dinner, if you've gotten all caught up in this discussion this afternoon. But anyway, look forward to talking to you again next Monday. Have a great week and talk to you then. Bye-bye.